Lots of good things happening here today. We thank the Lord for that. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And it was this blessed Trinity that Al just finished singing about, and to which all of us this morning have free access through the Father's gift of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to give us the legal right to call ourselves the children of God. And once we become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit then comes to indwell us, as the children were singing about this morning. The Holy Trinity is a blessing to this world. In fact, right now, the Holy Spirit is restraining evil in this world. The Trinity was instrumental in the creation of all things. And James says that all good things come from above and come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What we are going to see today through Revelation 13 is a very unholy Trinity that will bring havoc and great deception to this world. You were introduced to one member of this Trinity last week, the one who is called the dragon, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. He is in opposition to all that is good and holy. Today in our passage, we'll learn that two others will join forces with the devil. They are described as two beasts, as you will see. One is the Antichrist, and the other is the false prophet, whom I believe are actual people and may even be alive today. Many others in this world, perhaps unknowingly, have joined forces with the devil. You see, there's only one that you can give your allegiance to in this life. It is either Christ or it is Satan. And if you have not, through an act of faith in Jesus Christ, received him as your Savior, the Word of God says that you are playing for the wrong team. You're playing for the losing team. And it's like choosing to play hockey for the USA. Sorry. When you could actually be playing for a winner like Team Canada. And lest we forget, let's take another look at that clip. I missed the game. Did you notice the joy and jubilation on the face of this winner? But did you notice also the disappointed looks on the faces of Team USA, who played an awesome game, really? There's nothing like being on a winning team. And so I'm going to ask you today, won't you please consider becoming a member of Jesus' team? You know, he's the leader of a great franchise in which many here today claim to have ownership. And the passage of Scripture this morning from Revelation chapter 13 is a stern warning to all who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so I invite you to turn with me to a very challenging portion of Scripture, and one that is difficult to understand, but we're going to try to clarify some of it for you today. Revelation 13 and verse 1. And he stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his throne. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" And there was given to him a mouth, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written in from the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he can even make fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. This passage of Scripture has a very strong message. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are worshipers of Satan and are enslaved. Let me say it this way. Being a worshiper of the living God and living a holy life in obedience to his word will set you free. All others are prisoners of Satan's lies and his unholy ways. Now, you might be offended that I would say those who aren't Christians are followers of Satan. I was until I was 26 years of age. I didn't know it, but I was. One night after hearing the gospel, I repented of my sins and became a follower of Christ. God worshipers accept Christ as their Savior and live under his authority. All others come under the authority of the one who is the author of lies. Satan's ways are always in opposition to the ways of Christ. And I am not saying that Christians are any better people naturally than anyone else. The only things that makes us worth anything today is our relationship to Jesus Christ. Without him, we are lost and we are hopeless and we are on the losing team like many others. During the tribulation period, the dragon, Satan, will give his power and authority to the Antichrist so that the world will be deceived and worship the dragon. Now realize, friends, that Satan is working toward world supremacy. And here's how he is going about it. Through world leaders who are talking about a new world order. It was Winston Churchill who said, "The purpose of the new world order is to bring the world into a world government." Now think about it. Today we have the World Bank. We have the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice. The United Nations wants a world currency, a world income tax, a world constitution, a global ID number. Globalization is more than global corporations and global standards. In our passage today, Satan is standing on the sand of the seashore. And this sand of the seashore, I think, speaks about the nations in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, who are in the four corners of the earth. So here he is, he's looking out and he's standing among the nations, feeling that he has complete control. And again, I want you to please keep in mind that God's people, the church, are not on earth at this time. They have been raptured. They are in heaven. What we are seeing here is the time when the Holy Spirit, who restrains evil, is taken out of the world and is removed. Then John saw arising out of the sea this wild beast that has 10 horns, 7 heads, and each horn has a crown. Now, each of the heads mentioned had blasphemous names on them. They are anti-God, but they're probably religious. Now, notice verse 1 speaks about the horns, the heads, and the crowns. And so, in order to better understand these, we need to go back to the book of Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, first of all. Now last week, Peter mentioned King Nebuchadnezzar's dream from Daniel chapter 2. And in this dream, he saw a vision of a great statue. And this statue was one who had a head of gold. It had arms of silver, and its belly and its thighs were of bronze, and its legs were of iron, and the toes were partly of iron and partly of clay. In the words of H.A. Ironside, "In the feet of the image, you have an attempt to amalgamate that which cannot be amalgamated, iron and clay. It is a picture of a man's attempt to amalgamate the iron of imperialism with the potter's clay of social democracy." Now in Daniel 2, you will notice another stone appeared that was cut out without hands. In other words, it was a stone that no man had cut out at all. And without going into detail, Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was and also its interpretation. It's one thing to tell the interpretation, but it's another thing to tell what the dream actually was. So here's the interpretation of the dream from Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 to 45. "This is the dream. Now we shall tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold. And after you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. So like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these pieces. And in that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom, but it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will not be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all the kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, and the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future, so the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Now, history shows that the kingdom of Babylon defeated the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. That kingdom of the Medes and the Persians defeated the kingdom of Greece under Alexander the Great. And finally, the kingdom that would defeat Greece was the Roman Empire. However, the stone not cut with hands would crush all of the kingdoms and would reign supreme. And this stone that was not cut with hands, my friends, is none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior, who one day is going to reign supreme. Now, this was Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but Daniel himself also had a dream about the same four kingdoms, only with different symbolism. Now, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 7 for a moment. And we're going to read from verses 2 to 8. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. This was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until the wings were plucked and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. Now, I want you to notice as we're reading through it, this, that the animals that were spoken of in Revelation 13 are also spoken of here in Daniel chapter 7. And behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. And this, after this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little horn, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. This first beast was like a lion. and it had the wings of an eagle. And this is ancient Babylon. Like the head of gold, it was powerful and swift like the eagle. Babylon was able to conquer because of its power and its swiftness. It had power, it had strength, and it had glory. Now, the Babylonians were brought down brutally by the Medes and the Persians, who were known for their cruelty and brute force. Whenever they would conquer a city, it made no difference to them whether there were men, women, or children. They were all treated the same. This nation in Daniel's dream is represented by the second beast that looked like a bear, and it had three ribs in its mouth, which represents three parts of the Babylonian Empire that were conquered: Egypt, Babylon, and Lydia in Asia Minor. The third beast was like a leopard. It was swift of foot, and it had four wings of a bird on its back, and it had four heads. This is the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great conquered every kingdom, including the brutal Medes and Persians. Every kingdom that he ever came in contact with, he had them all conquered in his early 20s, and he was actually sad and despondent because there were no more kingdoms to conquer. But you'll notice that this leopard had four heads as well. And after the death of Alexander the Great, at a very young age, four separate generals took over the rule of the Grecian Empire, and they were brought down by this fourth beast. Now, the fourth beast would represent the Roman Empire. If you've got a slide there, Rajan, there's the depiction of the Roman Empire at that time. And you know that expression that all roads lead to Rome is true, isn't it? And this nation totally obliterated the Greek Empire. And you'll notice that this beast from the passage was very ferocious, and nothing stopped it from conquering at all. The only difference between this beast and the one described in Nebuchadnezzar's dream is that it had 10 horns or kings, which speaks about a revived Roman Empire. Now, when we're talking about a revived Roman Empire, we're not talking so much about this particular empire being revived, but we're talking about a system being revived in governing. Now, Daniel had to contemplate these 10 horns. And while he was doing this, another horn, a little horn, came up among the 10, and he was like a man with eyes and a mouth that uttered boastful and arrogant words. And we read from our passage in Revelation 13. It says that three horns or three kings fell. This is the Antichrist, and he will uproot three kings. Now, well, that being said, let's go back to Revelation chapter 13 in the New Testament. This fourth kingdom, this one that Daniel saw, is the one that we are dealing with in this passage today. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, a horn, a ruler, came up among the 10 horns, and kings or rulers, and uprighted three, just like Daniel said in his passage. Now, here in Revelation 13 and 1, this horn or ruler is depicted as a beast. Now, who is the beast? Well, it's the Antichrist, the head of the revived Roman Empire. He is the head of this 10-nation confederacy represented by the 10 kings or horns. Now, what about the seven heads? Allow me to quote again from Ironside. He said, "Livy, the Roman historian, shows that Rome had passed through five very distinct forms of government prior to John's day. The sixth was in existence in John's time, and it had an imperial rule. This one right here. That was the form which was destroyed. And I am persuaded that this was the head wounded to death in our chapter. Damon Duck identifies these seven heads or forms of government as Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and, he added, the United Nations. Interesting. The seventh form of government is going to be raised up during the tribulation in a 10-nation confederacy, as prophesied by Daniel, who many believe will take the form of a revived Roman Empire type of rule. It will have an imperial ruler, the Antichrist. Now, his description encapsulates all of the rulers that Daniel envisioned. You'll notice in verse 3 that he had a fatal wound that was healed. Imperialism, as we know it today, is meaningless. It is social democracy that rules the world today. This is all going to change when the Antichrist comes to power. The return to imperial rule is a fatal wound which is healed. At any rate, according to verse 3, the whole earth is going to be amazed by the Antichrist, and they will be Satan worshipers because he put the beast, the Antichrist, into power. The people who follow him will be characterized by pride. Their question in verse 4 shows this. Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him? Remember the stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the stone that was cut out without hands and crushed the nations? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our champion, and he will crush all that remains of Satan's rule. The Antichrist will have a time of 3.5 years of deception, and he will be blasphemous toward God, and he will persecute God's people, and the Bible says that he will overcome them. In fact, he will have authority over all the inhabited earth at that time. Everyone is going to worship the beast, the Antichrist. Anyone whose name, that is not written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And I want to ask you today, is your name written this morning in the Lamb's book of life? If Jesus Christ came back today, and he very well could, would you be raptured to go with him to heaven? Or would you be staying here on this earth? I want you to notice the warning in verse 9 of this chapter. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, this is your warning if you aren't saved today. God is giving you a chance to change teams, as it were, to be on the winning side. He doesn't want you to perish today. Now, Christians are assured in verse 10 that their persecutors will go into captivity, and they will be killed by the sword. Now, there's another beast in this chapter, and that completes this unholy trinity that we began to speak about in verses 11 to 17. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a devil. He's the false prophet. The Antichrist came up out of the sea of the Gentile nations, but the false prophet is going to come from the revived Roman Empire. The false prophet will come up out of the nation of Israel. Now, his job is going to be to make Israel to worship the Antichrist. He's a convincing one. He will perform miracles, and he will wow people to death, literally. He convinces his followers to make an image of the Antichrist. He even animates the image so that it will speak. And anyone who refuses to worship the image of the Antichrist will die. In those days, everyone who wants to do business, buying or selling, will not be able to do so unless they have the mark of the beast either on their right hand or on their forehead. And that number is 666. You know, the number 7 is God's number of perfection. But the number 6 is man's number who comes short, really, of the glory of God, doesn't he? The 3 sixes are the trinity of evil. I know that there's a lot of controversy over who these beasts actually are. But I don't think that that is what should concern us today. What should really grab our attention this morning is the fact that this has been prophesied by the prophet Daniel and has been written about by the apostle John, and it is going to happen. It's true. It's trustworthy. And we need to really consider the fact that Jesus Christ could come back today. And if you didn't go to be with him, if you stayed behind, your loved ones who are Christians will be gone. They'll disappear. Imagine walking into a house and calling your wife's name, your husband's name, your mom and dad's names, and no one answers. And they will not answer because they'll be gone. They'll be gone to be with the Lord, and you will be on this earth serving the unholy Trinity, whose jersey number is 666. I know many people that are worried about tomorrow, and they are investing like crazy to ensure that they have their retirement in place and that everything is in order so that they will be comfortable in the retirement. And I'm not knocking that. But the most important thing that we need to have in place is our eternal security. And the best thing about it is that it is free. And we can know Jesus Christ today through a simple act of faith. And I invite you today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you that you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And we thank you that these things that we have been reading about today are really an expression of your grace, because you've given us ample opportunity to be able to come to you, to be able to lay down our lives for you, and to be able to accept Christ as our Savior. And Lord, I pray that that would be so in all of our lives today, that each one of us, whether we've been walking with the Lord for a long time or not, would surrender everything to you. And for those who haven't yet come to Christ, I pray that that would be true this morning, that people who are outside of Christ would come and be saved. And Lord, we want to thank you today for everyone that is here. We thank you for your grace in our lives, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. And we trust that it's been a blessing to you.